Shalom, my name is Rabbi Shlomo Tucker. I am the Dean of the Schechter Rabbinical Seminary in Jerusalem. I'm very pleased to participate in this podcast, which is part of the Chodesh Tov podcast series, a joint venture of the Schechter Rabbinical School in Jerusalem, the Ziegler School of Rabbinic Studies in Los Angeles, the Jewish Theological Seminary in New York, and the International Rabbinical Assembly. The purpose of these podcasts is to regularly inform rabbis of the most current thinking in a wide variety of fields of Jewish studies. A further word about myself, because it's quite germane to what I wish to present to you. Over the past number of years, I have been trained as a master practitioner in the field of neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, as it is generally called, and in guided imagery. NLP is a field of study which began in the 1970s in California, with the work of Richard Bandler and John Grinder, which began with modeling the seminal work of Fritz Perl and Virginia Satir, and then of Milton Erickson, to see how it is that they achieved the wonderful results that they did, each in their own areas. The results of these studies on the part of Grinder and Bandler brought them to develop tools by which modeling could take place of many of the techniques, thought patterns, and behaviors of these outstanding leaders in their fields. The results over the period of the past few decades have seen NLP become a major force in such diverse areas as sports, business, the helping professions, and others. My personal work in my training has brought me into contact with many hundreds of hours helping people who desire to make changes in their lives, teaching them techniques and ideas. I have done this both on a one-on-one basis and in groups at my synagogue and at other locations as well. The need that I would like to identify and talk about today is that of training our future colleagues to deal with real-life issues that they will encounter, ways in which each of them may be challenged on a personal level. It might be in the field of accepting criticism, or in the area of anger management, whether that of themselves or of others, or perhaps in the area of establishing appropriate boundaries for themselves and for others, and in many additional areas. NLP, as I have learned it, has the ability to provide tools for achieving self-understanding, achieving excellence, improving communication, attaining goals that we wish for ourselves that are described in a structured, behavioral, cognitive fashion. NLP is about short-term behavioral change, short-term in the sense that the work is accomplished, work is done over a short period of time, using techniques and thought patterns that help us to make the changes for ourselves. Neuro-linguistic programming. Neuro refers to neurology, the fact that we encounter and encode the world based on our five senses. That is the neurology we are talking about. Linguistic in the sense that much of the encoding that we do has to do with cognitive verbal messages, linguistics, messages that we give to ourselves. The way that we experience the world sometimes involves shortcuts that may not be in our best interest. There may be distortions, there may be generalizations, there may be omissions, all of which may bring us to experience a situation in a way that is not optimal for ourselves, in which we perhaps give away our own power. Programming refers to the idea that we indeed are able to take responsibility for the way in which we encode reality, remembering that, as we say in NLP, the map is not the territory. how I experience a particular event in reality is not necessarily descriptive of that reality. I'll give you an example. If I were wanting to go on a trip and I needed to rent a car, I would order the car, arrange for it to be ready when I wanted it there so that I could reach a major event. Let's say this event is about 5-6 hours away by car. And it's at 2 o'clock that I want to be there, so I arrange to pick up the car early morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, taking into account traffic, taking into account all the vagaries of travel. But when I get to the car rental site, I find out that the car is not ready and won't be ready until much later, early afternoon in fact. I'm furious. I picture that I've already missed out on the event. I picture that all of the traffic I'm going to encounter on my way there. I'm furious. Eventually I get the car, I drive there, and I'm disturbed the whole way there. When I finally arrive, I come into the house where the event has practically ended, and I encounter there my 10-year-old nephew. And he sees how upset I am. He asks me, "What's going on, Uncle?" I tell him, and he says to me, "But Uncle, that was then. There's nothing you can do to change it. But you're here now. You're with us. At least enjoy the moments that you are here with us." And if I can hear that, if I can permit myself to truly hear that message, I can re-experience, re-encode. I can say something different to myself, something that will enable me to suddenly, very quickly, almost like pricking a balloon, very suddenly to make a change and to permit myself, instead of fuming at what already happened, to experience what is happening now from a totally different place. NLP would take me hours to explain to you, but I want to tell you about a particular direction that I am trying to develop. It seems to me that many of these techniques can be combined with study of Jewish texts. Indeed, to base discussion about these Jewish texts as a way to learn some of these wisdoms, some of these ideas, some of these approaches, some of these techniques. I want to give two examples of what we can learn from classic Jewish texts. First, let me tell you that one of the major statements of NLP is that there is no such thing as failure. There is only gathering information. I suggest we learn it from God. According to the Midrashim, God created universe after universe, deep sixing each one, realizing that there was something unstable, not right, and learning from each one until God decided that one needed both justice and mercy for there to be an endurable world. How are we to understand God's behavior? What is the Midrash trying to say to us? That God made a mistake? God did not know? Rather, I think it is a message that says that here is an example. We're gathering of information, not giving up, not relenting, but trying again is the key to ultimate success. Some of you may also know the wonderful Midrash about Levi ben Sisi that is found in Bereishit Rabbah chapter 81. Tells how he was given an ability to teach in a town called Simonia by Rebbe, and he came there as a very knowledgeable man, and when he was put up on the bima, on a pedestal as it were, and asked simple questions in halakha and in Torah, he couldn't answer a single one. When he finally left the pedestal with great despair, he came down and spoke with Rebbe and said, "I failed terribly." Rebbe asked him for details about what had happened. And he told him all the details and he answered question after question very simply because he knew all the information. And the Rabbi Levi ben Sisi said to Rebbe, "I was conceited. I placed myself on an emotional pedestal. And that's why I forgot everything." I think that we have a challenge, and that is to provide our future colleagues with the ability to know themselves far better, to give them tools so that when they work in chaplaincy, in schools, in congregations, wherever they may be, they will be able to understand what they are experiencing, to be better communicators, to better understand the neurology, the linguistic, and the programming of which they are all capable, so that they can maximize their ability to function as professionals. It will be my great pleasure if any of you wish to share your thoughts as to what I have shared here today. My mail is shtucker, T-U-C-K-E-R, at Schechter, S-C-H-E-C-H-T-E-R, .org.il. I thank you and look forward to hearing from you.